Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Final this Sunday afternoon, Kerry take on Donegal. Of course, they last took home the Sam Maguire in 2022. It's been 13 years, though, since Donegal won the All-Ireland Football Final. So who will hail victorious this Sunday? Eamon McGee is with me here in Lunchtime Live today, of course, part of the 2012 All-Ireland winning Donegal team. I was thinking, Eamon, just earlier this morning, you know, for you looking on it, Michael Murphy and of course, Jim McGuinness being back and the Friday before the All-Ireland Football Final. Is it a feeling of envy or relief when you look at the team now heading into Sunday?
It's a bit of both, you know. It's a bit of both because, you know, the All-Ireland Final day, we didn't get there enough, in my opinion. We're not like Kerry, where they've nearly, literally over 60 appearances in the final. So, but there's relief that we're there because, you know, Donegal were in the doldrums there a few years ago, in terms of three, four years ago. We just weren't supposed to be anywhere near where we are at now, and now we have a semi-final appearance and looking forward to another appearance. So I'm happy for the lads, but yeah, there's definitely a part of me that's jealous too.
That, really?
You know, that parade, when the teams walk around Croke Park in that parade, it's a magical feeling. You know, that's something that'll always stay with you. And you know, you have thousands of Donegal fans that's all shouting for you. And that party. Now, the preparation that goes into it, I'm not such a fan of that there now, but actually the day of the game was always special.
Give us an insight into, you know, the Friday lunchtime, Friday afternoon before an All-Ireland Football Final, and when there has been, I suppose, that gap, like the 13 years and similar to back in 2012, when obviously it had been 1992 that Sam Maguire was last in Donegal. What's going through the players' heads this afternoon? Like, is it hard? It must be much harder now to escape the social media coverage. I mean, even if you wanted to...
Exactly. Social media was, you know, in its infancy,
yeah,
in terms of 2012, 2014. And you know, the Instagrams, the Twitters, the all, TikTok, all this would have played a big part in these young players of the current crop. So they'll go on daily and check, do whatever they have to do. In my own opinion, you know, I'd just delete everything for the 2 weeks, just not having it on the phone.
Right. Yeah, just.
But, you know, you talk to sports psychologists and say it's all about routine. You don't change anything. So the fact that there's that argument then, am I making too much of a drastic change? Like, because that distraction, what do they fill that distraction? What do they fill it with thoughts of the game? Maybe is it better to go down a TikTok hole rather than thinking about David Clifford? So it's in terms of that whole just, that whole, it's new, like, it's not something I ever came across, so it's new to the lads now, yeah. But they just got to go back to, in terms of what got them to the semi-final last year, what got them to the final this year, and stick to that, you know, when them thoughts, because it happened to me, you know, 2012, it was their first final, and it would nearly swallow you up and thought this moment, and you just had to ground yourself, say, no, I go back to my training, I'm doing it in the training night after night, so why wouldn't I do it on the Sunday? And that's their comfort blanket going forward into the weekend.
Yeah, just keep a level of routine. Jack O'Shea is joining us as well, Eamon. Of course, former Kerry senior football player as well. Did you have rituals, Jack? Have I got Jack? Is Jack with us? No. Try and get Jack back maybe on the line. Have you been talking to any of the players, Eamon?
You know, I fired off a text earlier in the week to the players that I know fairly well, and I just thought, get it done now. Didn't go into a big spiel or, you know, didn't get grounded. Said, listen, good luck now. Do the business. My brother's involved in the backroom team as well.
Yeah.
And what he quickly after the Meath result, he just says, listen, get yourself started for tickets. That was his only interaction.
I'm going
because up here, it's not like Kerry. They're used to this, you know, hustle and bustle and this madness for tickets up here. It's crazy, and we're just like the phone. They must think that we have a printing machine out the back. They're able to fire out tickets here. So, but it's a good complaint to have, Andrew.
It's a great complaint. No question about that. I'm sure Jack O'Shea, your head is tortured with people looking for tickets.
Oh yeah, there's always that problem. I think you can print tickets. The same as out the rec garden, but I have the same problem. But I suppose it's nice to be in a final. It's nice to have those problems.
Yeah. Did you have rituals before heading into your?
I did. Yeah, I was, as Emma said, there. I suppose it's a bit strange in a lot of ways the way I approach finals and stuff. I'm a plumber by trade, so I actually walked right up to the Friday, maybe sometimes the Saturday before the final. Then I was living in Dublin, so I would go to meet up with the Kerry team out in Malahide in the hotel on the Saturday night, and we'd have our usual kind of get together. We didn't have any real big team meetings and that kind of stuff. We left the hotel actually and walked down Malahide down onto the beach, and we sat on the wall in the pitch dark, and Mika said a few words or whatever, and back to the hotel. And there was nothing really huge about it. Like, we didn't, I suppose, you know, the game has gone so different now. We didn't kind of worry about who we were playing against or what players we were going to be marking or whatever. Mm. You focus on yourself. And then unusually then, which will probably amaze a lot of people, on the Sunday morning, I went off and I played 18 holes of pitch and putt before I was playing the All-Ireland final. That was my approach to it. It helped me to relax. Like, I love the occasion. I love the occasion of the All-Ireland final. I made the occasion motivate me. And as Eamon said, like, walking behind the band, that's what you want to be.
Yeah.
Like, to be one of those 30 people in Ireland, get a chance to walk behind the Art Hand Boys band on Ireland final day, to be one of 15 from your county to be able to do that, that's a massive achievement.
Mm.
And it's something you have to actually use, you know, for your benefit rather than being a hindrance to you. And if you can use that to motivate you, and, you know, this is where I want to be, where else would I want to be in a day like this? And, you know, you just go and perform then after that.
Tony Boyle, of course, part of the 1992 All-Ireland winning team, is with us as well. Jack, were you off playing golf the morning of the All-Ireland final, Tony?
No, definitely not. I mean, we went again, like all Donegal teams, we were headed down the night before. I think we stayed, from memory serves me, we stayed in Lucan, but we did go on, I think it was a bit of a ritual for some All-Ireland teams. We went into Shelburne Park the night before to the Greyhounds.
Right.
And we did, so it was just a game. Listen, it was just a game to pass the time. I don't think anyone made a lot of money, on the night, but again, it was just take your mind off the following day and that, you know. So, but listen, I suppose the big advantage we had, when you mentioned Damon, there was no social media on the build up to the game for us. So the only thing we had to avoid was the Donegal Democrat and the Donegal News, and not read them. But listen, it's brilliant to be looking forward to another final, to go back to Coe Park to watch the lads.
What is the buzz like at home this afternoon?
Ah, the buzz. The atmosphere is just brilliant. As Eamon said, you know, Kerry expect to be in a final, Andrew, every year, and probably one of most of them, whereas we, you know, both as ex-players and fans, we set out and hope more than anything to hopefully get to an All-Ireland final. It's only been our fourth, but you can see, you know, between the bunting and the flags, the big thing I notice about the place, a lot of families now take out, you know, full-size signs and put them at the end of the roadway, and I was heading up to the club looking for tickets this night, and I passed by Daniel and Magella, and they have a massive big sign out at the end of the road end wishing Jim and the boys all the best. But listen, it's a fantastic occasion. It's only our fourth of our final, and, you know, the boys was just absolutely, it's been brilliant.
The team announcements, Kerry yesterday, and I think Donegal team announcement there just a little bit earlier this morning. No major surprises, Jack?
I think that, you know, it's very hard to change a winning team, you know, and both teams performed well in the semi-final. I think that the two semi-finals are a bit disappointing, really. I thought, you know, that both teams won kind of comfortably enough. So, you know, all the Donegal players played well, and you know, the Kerry fellas, you know, Kerry, since the start of the year, I think when they got to Croke Park, their team lifted their spirits a lot, and they're playing a different brand of football since they got there and that. And so I don't think the two teams were really pushed in the semi-final. I thought they were comfortable in that. And so, you know, I suppose when players play well and whatever, it's you'll be expecting to hang on to your place for the final, and I'm not surprised if there's no changes.
Yeah.
Well, we'll wait and see. There might be changes before the ball is thrown in, but you know, like typically Kerry usually go with whatever they pick, they usually go with it, you know.
It's funny, Eamon, because, you know, even when I'm listening to and chatting to, you know, colleagues and friends in work, and they're talking about, I mean, you know, the two names I suppose most mentioned are David Clifford and Michael Murphy. Is that hard on other teammates?
No, it's not. You know, this is only my own experience, that you're nearly delighted. The spotlight's off you. You can go about your... And the two lads will be well fit to handle that pressure. They've been doing it for most of their career, and that means it's not on someone else. And for me personally, I think that's a great one. Let everybody look at Michael Murphy. Let everybody look at David Clifford. And what normally happens in a final, someone will... that we least expected will crop up and, you know, put in a performance and, you know, get us over the line. And I think, and again, my own opinion, I think that's a great thing, that spotlight's on the two lads. It's a Murphy-Clifford final. You know, a lot of talk about Jim McGuinness too now, but primarily it's about Clifford and Murphy, and that means no pressure on them young bucks. There's a young enough team coming in.
Yeah. Who do you think Donegal have to match David Clifford?
I think you know, most of us will agree that Brian McCall's going to pick up Clifford. I don't think Clifford's playing at such a level. I don't think you can just take him on as in a 1v1. You know, I think that Jim will have a plan in place that offers a bit of support to McCall. So it'll just be interesting. And you know, I just can't wait as a football fan to see to look on when everything's set and to look on and say, right, that's McCall picking up Clifford, and to see what plan Jim has put in place to combat him, because he's so pivotal. Murphy has an off day, Donegal still have a chance to win. Clifford has an off day. I just don't see Kerry winning the game.
Would you agree with that assessment, Jack?
No, it's funny, like, David is playing really well at the moment, Mike Murphy's playing really well, but like big games like this are decided in the split second decisions, and the likes of David Clifford, I think his strongest point is that he can make up, he can decide what he was going to do in a split second, which catches people off guard. Now, but like, same Michael Murphy, David Clifford, like they're match winners themselves on the day, but like the ball has to be supplied to them, and the supply of the ball into them is going to be very, very important. How that ball comes into them players, and as Eamon said earlier, All Ireland Finals always throws up somebody that has an outstanding game, you know, spring from nowhere and that. And, you know, it's a team game. No one individual is going to win the All Ireland. And it's a team game, and it's going to be who can make the right decision at the right time. You know, I remember back to 2014, it was a poor kick out, and we Donegal, nearly cost him the All Ireland Finals. So a little mistake can give any team the chance, you know. But I just think that the two best teams are in the final. It eagles for a fantastic final. All we want is good conditions, and I think we'll have a great final.
It looks like we're hopefully going to get that for sure. Freelance sports journalist, broadcaster, and GAA podcaster Kingdom Calls, Mortimer Murphy is joining us as well. Jack, I'm sure the great buzz still have no doubt in Kerry today.
Yeah, there is. There's quite anticipation, I suppose. As Eamon was saying, look, Kerry, I suppose it can be an advantage and a disadvantage. We are used to All Ireland finals, and that's with humility, but we are. Most of the lads who are turning up on Sunday are playing in their fifth All Ireland, that's including the replay in 2019 against Dublin. And, you know, you'd have the Sean O'Shea's and the David Clifford's winning a multitude of minor medals, and there's a few survivors, as there is in Donegal from the 2014 final. So I think on the experience side, obviously Kerry have a distinct advantage: youthfulness, pace, power, explosive running, and a goalkeeper who can launch missiles into the sky, Sean Patton. Donegal have a slight advantage, so it's a 50-50 game. That's the way the bookmakers are reading it. From a personal point of view, I fear Donegal. I think they are an excellent side. I know Jimmy McGuinness from his time in Tralee IT, now MTU Kerry, and we got to know him quite well down here. I work with the team as a PR kind of a guy, and got to know him, and yeah, he's an intense character. He was, a little bit wilder down at his college days down here than he is now. In fact, at the horns end of Austinstead Park, some people suggested recently on one of the podcasts I was on that it was a nightclub for students back in the day, and Jimmy, along with a lot of other students, used to visit it quite frequently. So they were thinking they're re-terracing it. I put the new terrace there, so that we might call it, if Donegal win, the Jimmy McGuinness Terrace.
That'll go down well, all right. And with
I don't think it would be agreed down in Kerry.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kerry. But I think the other point that has been made there by Jacko and by Neil is, look, it is the David Clifford versus the Michael Murphy's final, according to the pundits, particularly in the northern side of the country. And if you look at David Clifford, he scored 8 goals and 53 points in 8 games in the championship so far. And if you look at Michael Murphy, he's 44 points. But what I'd like to look at is the spread of scores. Donegal have at least 10, if not 11 players who have scored in double digits. That's more than 10 points in the championship.
Mm.
While Kerry, the vast majority of their scores are by David Clifford, Johnny O'Shea and Paul Ganey, who's on the bench. Dylan has 13, Joe O'Connor won 7. 2 players who I think will play a pivotal role and might be the unsung heroes on Sunday would be Michael Langan from Donegal. Mm-hmm. He plays around the middle of the pitch. He's outstanding. And up to now, he's been very impressive. He's the third top scorer in 125. Can you imagine that from midfield? And I think Joe O'Connor is our man.
So what do you think the scoreline will look like on Sunday, Mortimer?
Well, it depends. You see, this could turn out, despite the new rules, of being a game of chess in terms of it'll be the structure, the system.
If I had to press you now, what'll the final scoreline look like?
Well, the final score looks like, well, I have tipped up Donegal, so I'm one of the few Kerry people who have, so I better stay true to my word, although I could change between now and Sunday.
Right. By how much?
I'll tell you it'll be Donegal by 2. That's max. It could go to a replay.
Do you agree with that by 2, Tony, or what's your verdict?
Yeah, I would have to be in the same camp as Mortimer. It's good to see a Kerry man. As we say, I'll be maybe a cute Kerry man trying to put pressure on us. But listen, I think that there's always pressure in Kerry to be one in all Ireland. And even though all the experience that them Kerry boys have, that as people know, unless you're like Jacko and you have at least 4 or 5 medals in your pocket down in Kerry, you're not even acknowledged. So there's a fair bit of pressure on Kerry. But listen, if Donegal bring the same intensity that they brought against me for 70 minutes, you know, I do expect and very hopeful that Donegal won one.
How do you think it'll look, Jack, on Sunday final scoreline?
I think Kerry by about 4 points. I think that
Kerry by 4.
Firepower up front. And I think one or two of the young sun heroes of the Kerry team are going to have big performances. Which often happens when Kerry are playing the final, and I think they might edge it.
And final word to you, Eamon McGee.
I will go by Donegal. Can I have to go by Donegal by 3 to 4 points?
3 to 4 points. Listen, a pleasure chatting to you all. Enjoy the game, respective of the result on Sunday afternoon. Thanks for your time here in Lunchtime Live. Eamon McGee, Jack O'Shea, Tony Boyle, Mortimer Murphy. Mary Coughlin is with me on the line today as well. Of course, Mary's the chairperson of the Donegal County Board, former Taoiseach as well. Mary, just you might, you know, explain to us from a county board perspective, not just in Donegal, but also in Kerry. Is the bulk of the work done or what's happening today?
Well, hopefully, unless there's a miracle between now and the game starting, there won't be any more tickets. So people are tidying up all the ticket allocations, and I'm sure no more than ourselves, Kerry will not be as happy either. But all the tickets have been allocated, and the preparation now, we have a banquet, just getting tidied up with the numbers and seating plans. Just the last minute part of the work, but I think everybody's exhausted at this stage.
I'd say that. And just on the ticket allocation, because you know, we were talking about this here in the show on Monday, actually, and there's been a lot of sort of over and back. Can you confirm how many tickets did Donegal get?
Well, our first allocation was 15,000, give or take. You see, there's different ways in which the permutations are done. Sometimes it's based on the number of attendances at previous games, like Ulster finals, semi-finals, etc., etc., that come through the clubs, for example. Sometimes it's based on the membership of the organisation and then the number of season tickets that people have. No matter what happens, Andrea, we're never going to have enough tickets and Kerry's never going to have enough tickets.
Well, two big counties.
If we had 40,000 tickets, it still wouldn't be enough.
Yeah, okay.
Because just not necessarily people that always go to the games and now putting pressure on clubs. What happens at the end of the day is we base our allocation on the membership of our organisation. We have a formula set up and agreed by the county executive on occasions when there's too many people looking for the amount of tickets that we have. It's based on a mathematical allocation, and that has been agreed, and that's the way we have to work.
That's the way you do it. Okay.
Yeah.
But overall, you probably get the sense that you're no doubt yourself and Kerry would have liked another few bags of tickets.
Look, we would have taken the whole lot ourselves.
Yeah.
To be realistic, you know, there's other things that people aren't aware of. Like all counties get tickets to their clubs. This is a voluntary organisation. It's a club-based organisation, and that is and has been the way for many, many years. So that's why people are ringing all their relations all over the country that are not involved to see can they get swaps and things like that.
Yeah.
But hopefully the people who deserve to get the tickets will get them. And that's the most important people. These are the people in the clubs, the volunteers who make the tea, wash the gear, train the children. You know, all of those people are very, very important. And I suppose I was just speaking to someone there recently. Years ago, only men went to games. No children and very few women. Life has changed in the GAA too. And I would say that probably as many women in the GAA now as men. So this is where life has changed, but the number of tickets hasn't.
Hasn't changed. So. It's still the same. Tell me about the buzz at home today, this Friday lunchtime.
We're trying to do two things. We're trying to stay calm. People are not necessarily nervous. The work has been done by the team. We've seen them perform. We're hopeful that we will do well and we want the team to do well. But Kerry are a strong team with a lot of experience and have experience of All Ireland finals more so than us. And they'll be equally prepared. So I think they'll be, I think it's going to be a tough game and I think it's going to be very athletic and it probably could be very close. Now, I heard Paul Flynn on the radio this morning because there might be a draw. And that's
the second person I've heard say that in the last 24 hours.
That's the last thing I want to see or hear. And I would say my counterpart in Kerry is the same. I'm honoured to be from St. Noel's, and we have three players from St. Noel's. The club is very, very proud of them. They're going to be very supportive of them. But I know at the end of the day, when those three boys come back, there's only one place they want to be, and that's at home in their own club.
Yeah.
And that is the sense of pride. And that's the, you know, the community spirit and the camaraderie and the care, because sure, it's the same in Kerry. It's the same in every other county. And it's the club that nurtures.
What's your gut telling you, Mary? I know you've fought many an election. How does it compare to this?
Well, when you're in an electoral situation, you never ask the candidate. And the chairperson probably the same question. Look, I've seen them perform. They've done the work. I've met them before we tidied up on Thursday. They have the work done. All they want to do is get on the bus, get to Dublin, play a game, job done. We're all enjoying the atmosphere and the build-up. And what are we doing at the end of the day? We're going to create memories for those young children who may or may not get to the game, but also those children who weren't here in 92, and some of them won't even have been here in 2012.
Yeah, well, the buzz will be absolutely fantastic.
And if you go in the... I'm hoping for leniency now from Donegal County Council, because there's quite a lot of posters, which I'm sure will be temporary in nature.
I don't think the electoral commission will come down on you as heavy this time.
I doubt very much. But look, the place is fabulous. Everybody's enjoying it.
Mary Coughlin, Chairperson of Donegal County Board. Mary, thanks a million for joining us here on Lunchtime Live.
Pleasure.
Yes, great messages coming in from listeners today talking about their own predictions, verdicts, what they think's going to pan out Sunday afternoon. Look, either way, it'll be an absolutely fantastic day, and just the buzz, you know, from talking to friends and family at home in Donegal at the moment is pretty incredible, as I've no doubt it also is in Kerry as well. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.